My dearly beloved in Christ, 3 days ago was the wonderful feast of Corpus Christi, and we are also using that Mass today on the Sunday following because it is such an important feast. And the Feast of Corpus Christi was established in the 13th century because on Holy Thursday we honor the institution of the Holy Eucharist, but it is also the beginning of the Passion. And therefore, there cannot be given adequate focus and attention on the institution of this august sacrament of the Blessed Eucharist on Holy Thursday. And therefore, there was need of another feast day exclusively centered on the body and blood of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, the institution of the Blessed Sacrament. There was a nun, I believe in Belgium, who was bothered by a vision. And the vision indicated that there was something missing in the liturgical year. And she was inspired with the idea that there should be a feast of the Holy Eucharist, Corpus Christi. And she thought, well, who am I? What can I do to bring this about? And she spoke to her confessor. And I don't remember all the details, but at least one priest she spoke to was a canon of the church there, meaning a theologian, an important priest. And by God's providence, it so happened he went on to become a bishop, and then he went on to become the Pope. And so he instituted the Feast of Corpus Christi. Now, of course, the church is always slow in establishing a new feast day. After all, the church authorities can't just give credence to anyone who claims to have a vision. But after due consideration, this feast day was established in 1264. But if you read the papal bull of institution, there's nothing mentioned about processions of the Blessed Sacrament. So initially, it was just a feast day on the Thursday after Trinity Sunday in honor of the Holy Eucharist. But several decades later, the early 1300s, there began to be these processions, first in France and then other parts of Europe. And it would seem that it was the devotion of the faithful that led to this practice of carrying the Blessed Sacrament out of the church, through the towns, through the villages, in procession. And we can think to ourselves what it would have been like in Catholic times when everyone in the town, or nearly everyone, was a Catholic. And everyone would turn out. And for days in advance, the path on which the Blessed Sacrament would be taken would be decorated and prepared, adorned beautifully to honor our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And then, after the High Mass on Corpus Christi, the priest would take the monstrance and go out in procession. And the vessel that we call, that we use to expose the Blessed Sacrament, is called a monstrance or an ostensorium, because those two words come from Latin, meaning that it shows, it demonstrates, it points to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And I was reading yesterday about the early processions, and originally the monstrance was in the shape of a tower or a couple of towers, and the Blessed Sacrament would be enclosed therein. But eventually the design that we use was developed where there are rays like coming from the sun, and the host is in a glass case in the middle, and then there are the golden rays. After all, our Lord said that he is the Son of Justice, and he is the light of the world. And so the monstrance demonstrates this, and is a beautiful vessel to show the dignity of the Blessed Sacrament, and for us to have benediction, which we try to have here at least once a month, in addition to First Friday and First Saturday on the third Sunday of the month, and we honor our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And again, the procession that we just had before Mass is such a beautiful demonstration of our faith and piety. To think that our Lord would be taken out of the church in procession, and in, again, Catholic times, when the Blessed Sacrament is taken all around the village. If you read the story of the Curie of Ars, St. John Marie Vianney, he was a priest who spent many hours a day, even up to, if you can imagine, as many as 16 hours a day in the confessional, hearing confessions. And he did this 7 days a week, 365 days a year, but there's only one day that he would take time out, and that was on Corpus Christi. And early in the morning, he would go around the village to check out the altars, to look at the decorations, to make sure that everything was just so in honor of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And his biographers tell us that he was like a little child. He was so enthused that this day had come in which he was going to carry the Blessed Sacrament through the village of Ars to honor our Lord. So it is a wonderful feast day, and it is an opportunity for us to reflect upon our devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. Do we have the gratitude we should to our Lord, who is present in our tabernacles, who gives himself to us in Holy Communion? There are many beautiful hymns, and I hope that you followed along in the procession, the English translation of those that had the English, beautiful hymns that were written by St. Thomas Aquinas for this feast. We just had, between the Epistle and Gospel, the lengthy sequence, as it is called, the Laudation Salvatorum, and it is a beautiful explanation of the whole theology of the Eucharist, that one can receive or a thousand receive, and yet they all receive the same body and blood of our Lord. He is present in every host and in every part of every host. And do we give him the love, the veneration, the honor that is due to him? When we think of the Blessed Sacrament, we think of the words of our Lord, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you." The Holy Eucharist is spiritual food, spiritual nourishment. And if we refrain from Holy Communion, if we did not receive Holy Communion, our spiritual life would shrivel up and die. Just like we cannot go for a long time without physical food, or we would become faint and weak and eventually die. So likewise, we need the spiritual food of the Eucharist. The gospel for this Mass of Corpus Christi was taken from the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel. And our Lord says in that chapter, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have life in you. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Our Lord said to the Jews, "Your fathers in the desert ate manna, but they died. He who eats the bread that I will give will live forever." So it is a spiritual food, and we need this spiritual food. The gospel for today, for the second Sunday after Pentecost, is about a king who prepares a great banquet. And he sends out invitations to all of his friends and all of the important people of the city. But they all made excuses. And one said, "Well, I cannot come because I have bought a farm and I must go out and see it." Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. And another said, "I've married a wife. I cannot come." So he made all these excuses. And the king was angry. He had prepared all this food. And he said to his servant, "Go out into the village, to the town, and bring in the poor and the sick and the blind and the lame." And the servant did that. And he went back to the king and he said, "I've done what you ordered, but there's still room." And the king said, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and the lanes, the alleys, into the little footpaths, and compelle entrare, compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled." And this is a beautiful parable or story of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. He wants to nourish us with his body and blood, but how many are there who make excuses? I cannot come. And our Lord said at the end of the gospel that those who were invited shall not be included in his feast day because they rejected the invitation. So do we make excuses? Do we strive to do what is necessary to prepare ourselves to receive our Lord worthily, devoutly, and often? Be careful of those excuses, those subtle excuses. Yes, none of us is completely worthy. We can never be entirely worthy to receive the body and blood of Christ. But by being in the state of sanctifying grace, observing the fast before communion, the fast that is required, and having the proper intention, we then are worthy, adequately worthy, to receive Holy Communion. Let us be careful of excuses. That's what happened in the gospel. They made excuses and they were excluded. So come to the banquet. Listen again to the words of our Lord. Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. Let us be certain to do what is necessary to make ourselves worthy, that we might receive this spiritual food often and with devotion. For without it, we die. Let us today give great thanks to our Lord for instituting the sacrament of his body and blood to nourish us in this vale of tears, we who are wayfarers, pilgrims, on our way to heaven, that we might have the spiritual nourishment we need to persevere in living a good life, that we might attain at last to the everlasting banquet in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.